Join us for this week's Countdown to Infinity when we travel back to 2010 and don the red and gold once more for Iron Man 2. We watch in awe as Tony battles a man with the same power source as Iron Man, a man with the same suit as Iron Man, albeit with some guns, and several hundred autonomous Iron Man-ies. For what we like to decide as a battle royale of who is the most Ironiest. Oh, did we forget that the mastermind behind this whole elaborate plan is basically just the less successful Tony Stark? No. Well, don't worry, we will, because this movie is awesome. This is Countdown to Infinity, and this is Iron Man 2.
Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Countdown to Infinity. This week, we are talking about Iron Man 2.
Woo!
Yeah!
I love this one.
So do I.
This one's good. It's not a popular opinion.
No, it's an unpopular opinion. I like this movie. It gets slated, but I think it's great.
I think after the first one, I was so excited for this one. I was always going to love it.
Same.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like, I know it's kind of crap. Like, it is a bit crap. I love it all the same. You know, it's just got some good moments. So, for me, personally, I really liked seeing War Machine for the first time. Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. That whole scene where Justin Hammer's kitting him out, brilliant.
It was great.
Like, it's just so cool.
Again, the one thing that we probably will end up discussing every single week is how much Marvel got fan service.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't just go, here's War Machine. That moment at the party where you see him go off, you take the Mach 2 suit, and he comes up again, and you're just like, it's on. We've got
it.
Even if they'd have never have kitted him out with the minigun and stuff you'd still be like, we literally just had War Machine. Yeah. I thought that part was amazing.
Yeah.
I love this movie. I think that, again, Justin Hammer is actually a decent protagonist for Tony Stark.
I mean, it does fall into the category of,
the exact same
villain with the
and
same
this one
as the hero.
More than any other movie ever, because you've got,
because you have them both.
Yeah,
you
Tony mean, Stark versus Justin. You've got
Tony versus Whiplash.
Yeah, Tony versus Whiplash, and you've got Tony versus War Machine. like you've literally got, like, it's a mirror image of everything.
It's Battle of the Suits.
However, it just worked, and coming off the back of Iron Man 1, which was a runaway success. No one ever imagined it was going to be as good as it was. They knew that we were aiming for a world, a universe that contained all of these characters. It was the first introduction of Natasha Romanoff.
Oh.
It was the first introduction of War Machine.
Brilliant.
You know, we saw more stuff with Nick Fury and Agent Coulson. Mm-hmm. Like these.
But even the tinier details. There is a moment where Tony props up his new element reactor creation thing, where he props it up with a proto shield, a proto Captain America shield, and that had me, like, as a 16-year-old kid being like, ah,
particularly as we'd not seen the first Avenger yet, like we'd not seen, like, Captain America. Technically at this point it might happen, but we'd not been confirmed, that we'd not seen it with our own eyes.
Yeah, man.
I actually really like Vanko as a villain. It worked nicely for me. Whiplash is a stupid villain. Like, Whiplash is a stupid villain.
Yeah.
Like, whips are terrible weapons, everyone. Like, seriously, they're not good weapons. Like, they are good punishment. They maybe are good in the bedroom if you're into that sort of thing. But as a superhero, a whip is inherently a terrible weapon. A whip, think about it. You have to pull it back. You have to be at a long distance for it to be effective. It is not an effective weapon. However, what was great about this is that there was only one reason why Vanko went after Tony Stark. One reason. Mm. And that was to go, you can be beaten. At this point, the world is like,
No, I'm going to take that one further. The reason he went after Tony Stark was because his father died and was, and was, you know, left out of the Stark fortune and the claim to the technology, which I think is actually a better reason than being beaten.
I would disagree with you on a slight there.
Interesting.
The thing is, that is right. That whole, they create the art reactor together.
Yeah.
Vanko wanted to sell it on for a profit, and Stark was like, get the fuck out of the US right now. So that happened. But really, it all comes down to this sun versus sun. It comes down to sports day. It comes down. It really does. Yeah, you know, okay. Comes down to it. My son can run faster than your son. There was a real sense of make it like honoring his father. And how was he going to honor his father? Because he's not going to get any of that money back. He's not going to do anything other than beat Tony Stark. If he can show that the technology that both fathers built, he can perfect and beat Tony Stark, then that really does show that all along he was, you know, he was the right one. His father was right. Like, you know, he didn't have to die in prison as a result of it. What I don't believe, that the only option that Justin Hammer had to create an Iron Man knockoff or autonomous army
was a Russian prisoner.
Was a Russian prisoner. The whole point in this movie, if you haven't watched it or you're watching it along with us, here we go, right? So he didn't turn up in an Iron Man suit. He turned up in an exoskeleton with whips. Using an art reactor and beat Tony Stark. He heavily damaged the Iron Man armor. He basically, for want of a better term, won this round.
Yeah.
Whereas Justin Hammer sees this and is like, I can exploit this. If this beats Iron Man, he must... No, like, Justin Hammer doesn't want something that can beat Tony Stark. What Justin Hammer wants is to have all the government contracts in the world. He wants to be rich. He wants to be more successful.
Yeah.
So he's built an art reactor, so maybe that's what he's going for, mate. Mm-hmm. But that's never really fleshed out well in this. It's like, I want an army of robots. I want an army of robots. Because Justin Hammer in this movie, he's the second most successful weapons designer in the world.
And hey, second place isn't a bad place to be, really. If we're talking money,
if we're talking multi-billionaire companies, like,
that's not a bad place.
No. And I didn't like that dynamic.
I would have liked to have seen more direct confrontation between Justin Hammer and Tony Stark, because there was barely any.
Yeah.
There was that one scene in the hotel in Monaco, and that's about it.
Mm.
That was enough to be like, okay, they're villains now.
I get the rivalry, and there definitely would be a rivalry. Yeah, of course. If you were always being pitted by the man that's just come out as Iron Man.
Oh, yeah, you ain't gonna...
Not only is he beating you in your industry, but he's now a fucking superhero. Do you know what I mean? Like,
pop culture legend.
You'd be a bit like, is this real life? Like, I'm screwed here.
Yeah.
The one thing in this movie, and we talked about this in the last episode a little bit, that you're not really allowed to review a movie based on this, on what it can learn and what we can.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you know what? Like, I really can on this. This was the first time that you saw a character fight hundreds and hundreds of villains, to create ultimate destruction. Now, 10 years on, oh, it's not, 7 years on, we've seen this every year.
Yeah.
Probably around 3 times a year.
Yeah.
However, seeing Iron Man and War Machine back to back, fighting hundreds of autonomous robots.
We hadn't really seen it done properly. It wasn't a mainstream joke.
No,
at that point,
it was incredible. Good... And we do joke with, you know, we joke about the fact that nameless villains, autonomous robots, that the minute that the main villain is defeated, they all subside. But realistically, this is the first time we saw that. This is the first time we saw, like,
in a comic book movie. Anyway, I mean, Phantom Menace.
Yeah, but this anyway. Is the first time in a comic book movie, and it was the first time we got to see that glimpse of spectacle that the first Avengers movie brought us. Oh. That moment of, it could be a double page in a comic book.
That, for me, is one of my favourite moments in the film, just because it's seeing Iron Man and War Machine team up properly, not just as mates... Not just as, you know...
Like working with each other. And Rhodes has full control of his suit at that point. He knows how to use it.
Yeah.
And arguably is more effective than Tony because of his upgrades in that scenario.
He's got more guns. He's got more firepower. The only thing that Tony has over him is the laser cartridges that he has. And that's just fucking cool.
You've got to understand that when you go in and see that, or see that for the first time, you are... my jaw was open. I could not believe what I was
seeing.
Those
graphics still hold up now.
Oh, absolutely.
I think, on the most part, most Marvel films hold up.
I think, again, something that we got to touch on, that we're probably going to touch on with a lot of these movies, is at first you thought that Scarlett Johansson's character was yet another throwaway, flirty female character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And did they hell bring that back? Throwing her in. The first time we meet Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow.
Fucking like, hell.
And that hallway scene where she goes to town and Happy Hogan goes, I got him, I got him.
And like, then there's just like about four people behind him just like, what? I'm pretty sure one's being hung. There's another guy like crawling on the floor. She annihilates everybody.
It wanted you to know.
Also, S.H.I.E.L.D. costume.
Yeah.
Nobody picks up on that. She's wearing a S.H.I.E.L.D. outfit. That's like the first time properly that we see a S.H.I.E.L.D. costume in live action. And it's...
And she is fucking... introduced by Nick Fury as this is a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. This Agent Romanoff. Like, she does not fuck about. And that's what I really love about that.
Yeah.
She is arguably the most badass character in this movie.
Yeah, more like, so than Tony Stark.
If she took on Vanko, she'd win.
She would win. Which begs the question, why is she relegated to the girl in
second
the chair?
Second string, yeah.
She's not brought into that fight whatsoever. I mean, you know, you give her... All right, here's an idea. Give her a fucking Iron Man suit.
Oh, wow. Oh,
that's we'll a conversation say, for yeah, another time.
We'll change that one up. I mean, realistically, the only thing that we can say bad about Natasha Romanoff is at this point is that from that one hallway scene, it should have been fairly obvious that she should have had a movie.
All I'm saying is Budapest.
Hmm.
Budapest movie, her and Hawkeye, buddy cop movie.
They should like,
that's all I want.
She was a fan favorite from this movie.
From the get go.
Like, from the second that we saw her, she like become Black Widow, that one minute that we were confirmed this was Black Widow, she was incredible and she should have had.
I'm gonna pitch you something right now.
Go.
You seen Atomic Blonde?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
is a Black Widow movie. Yeah. That is a Black Widow movie. The common idea that studios don't think that a female-led movie in general won't land has been blown out of the water. We've seen it with Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
We've seen it with Atomic Blonde.
Give Black Widow
a fucking movie.
Do you know what I mean? The comic book community gets a lot of flack for the fact that, you know, the misogyny that goes on, particularly with the artists and the writers and stuff like that. But the one thing that there are hundreds of strong, hardcore, powerful female characters.
True that.
Miss Marvel. The fact that we have to wait this long, that for me is that should have been in right there from the off. But at this point in time, we did not know where this was going. It's we're watching the sequel to a movie we loved.
Yeah,
and we're getting a character here that's so badass. Oh. So that's something I loved. Other things I love is I love the fact something that's a staple in Iron Man comics is the upgrade of the suit, next level suit, and it made it very clear right from the off, and it sets you up later with Ultron that's why there are so many suits that you know Iron Man 3, but it sets you up because there are so many suits because he's constantly it goes back to Tony Stark is one of the cleverest people in the world. Like he's constantly upgrading, he's constantly defining what it is to be a hero, what it is to be Iron Man, what it is to protect people.
And especially with this one, it's the personal aspect to it because he's doing so because he's dying.
I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, he knew at this point his own mortality. The fact that he doesn't die, spoiler alert, the fact that he doesn't die is regardless. Like, he is dealing throughout most of this movie with his mortality and the fact that he's not telling anyone that he's dying. He knows he's going to die, and yet that doesn't stop him. And if that isn't... It's a really potent moment in showing you how far we've come with Tony, because he really is at a point where he will give his life to continue this fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he isn't even... We haven't even reached a world-ending event yet.
Oh,
we're still, in the grand scheme of things, at a national level. We're not in a global level.
I wouldn't even say national, I'd say regional.
Right, talk to me about some things you didn't like.
Okay. So, that end scene with him and War Machine is great. The droids.
Even though they gave us a great spectacle.
They gave us a great spectacle, but they just piss me off. They dedicate so much time to creating these droids and this whole subplot of Vanko and Hammer. It just felt unnecessary. It's like they made the point of showing that Vanko could be manipulated with the use of his parrot.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
That was shit motivation.
It was terrible.
But really,
it just annoyed me.
You know, we can do the thing of like, yeah, but it wasn't really about the parrot. He was really just using Hammer's technology so that he could then build his own suit and create Iron Fat Man 2. Like, because that's essentially where we're at again.
And
yet just... again. Oh, how do we get a villain to finish this? oh, I know, that, you know, Iron Giant from the first movie.
Just give him a skirt, because he's wearing a skirt. Yeah. Don't tell me he's not.
Give him a skirt and give him whips, and that will be it. Oh, no man. One will question it. No one will question it. Let's do that.
It's just balances. The droids piss me off because they're just, again, faceless villains. And they could have spent more time giving us a bigger fight between Vanko and War Machine and Tony. They could have made those stakes higher.
Yeah,
they could absolutely. Have brought something in. They could have brought Pepper in somehow. Mm. Again, that'd be a bit damsel in distress, but there's no stakes. There's no stakes in this film. Once those droids are done, yeah. there's no danger, really.
Mm.
Hammer gets arrested within like 2 seconds.
I know, it's ridiculous. let's talk about Pepper again, because, again, out of all of the females in the MCU,
uh-huh.
Gwyneth's character has been given enough room yep. without given severity to grow as a... We believe that she is the CEO of a company. It's not hard for... You know, what I don't like in these, in certain movies is where you're going to be CEO, Eamon. And it's like, wait a minute, why would he ever be made CEO? That makes no fucking sense.
I'm perfectly capable. Thank you very much.
But like, that makes no sense. Whereas that point when Tony knows he's going to die and he's like, I need to give this to someone who can actually do something with it.
Yeah, she can do the job.
Yeah, Pepper can do that job.
Because it would have been very easy to go, hey, Rhodey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Or it would have been very easy to go, I'll give it to Pepper because I love Pepper. Oh, Pepper's...
Yeah.
I love her. You know, because I'm going to give her something. I'm going to do something for her. And that's not how it felt. It felt like Tony was like, well, you are the only person who can do this job. Yeah. You're the only person who knows this like I know this. You're the clear
choice. And when he disappears for a few weeks whilst he's building his new arc reactor and comes back... That scene in the office was fantastic. She chews that so well.
Intimidated by her character at that point.
Yeah.
Because she feels powerful. Yeah. And at that moment, you're Iron Man. And you're feeling like, oh, God.
Oh, shit.
I have to talk to her. Like you feel like you're about to get bollocked. It was perfect.
Yeah, and the happy moment where he walks in and he's like, oh, car's waiting. And she's like, oh, thanks. And Tony's like, fuck.
He's fantastic. And I love it. One thing that's quite interesting about this movie that we should probably talk about is it comes off the back of us talking about the Stan Lee cameo in this. It's a little throwaway one. He plays Larry King. It's done in a first person thing. One thing that's interesting about this scene is essentially it gives us what we now know is the first appearance of Peter Parker.
Yeah, I mean, it was widely reported that at the end of Iron Man 2, a small kid in an Iron Man helmet holds his hand up to a droid, about to get blasted, Iron Man saves him. Kevin Feige said recently that this was Peter Parker, but that kid is actually in the start of the film.
Yeah.
He's there, he's got the helmet on, he's got a poster to sign.
Yeah.
That's Peter Parker. Peter Parker is right there. The connectivity in the MCU is right there. Why wouldn't he be there? It's near Queens.
The kid's into science. The kid's into technology.
Yeah.
It's the Stark Expo. You would be there. Yeah, like, I mean, if you were into any... I mean, I'd go to a Stark Expo. It'd only be like going to, like, you know, a the gadget show. NEC. Like, it's like going to that, but on a massive scale.
Exactly. You add in the superhero aspect and it's just tenfold. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. And that I do like that it's retroactively fitted, but I don't know quite how I feel about it. It smacks of, oh yeah, no, he was always planned to be in here. Because if we'd have never got Spider-Man Return to the MCU...
Yeah. Would they have said, oh yeah, that was Peter Parker?
No, of course it wasn't. And that's the thing. Yeah. And that's the only thing I'd say about it. It makes sense that would be him. It's cool that they want to do that. But... what I don't like about it is that, he was always here. Do you know what I mean? He was always here. He was always here.
It's always the plan. It was always the plan from the start, which I don't doubt they obviously wanted Spider-Man back.
For Iron Man 1, you gave it a massive 8 out of 10. Yeah. I mean, you've got to be careful. We're 3 movies in, and you're already throwing out 8s.
8. So, 8. Come on. Iron Man was a great film.
Okay, so what are we giving Iron Man 2?
Look, okay, I do enjoy Iron Man 2. I'm well aware it has its faults. I'm gonna give it a bit of a lower rating this time. Okay. I'm gonna go 6.5.
Oh, that's dropped quite a lot.
Yeah. I don't, as much as I enjoy it, it's that same villain thing. It's that that pulls it down for me. Even though visually I enjoy it, even thematically, even the plot, I do enjoy it. It's just not too original anymore. It's become a victim of the sequel trope, not being as good as the one before it. The villain, who's Ivan Vanko, man? Who cares? Really?
I'm going to say right now, I'm going to give it the exact same score as Iron Man. Yeah. And the reason why I'm giving it is because I know that it's not as good as the first one.
Uh-huh.
But if I had to pick one Iron Man movie to watch right now on an afternoon, it would be Iron Man 2.
Fair.
Because you can get... It's more exciting. It's more visually appealing. Mm-hmm. You're already entering a world where Iron Man is badass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're getting Black Widow. You're getting War Machine.
I think it has a
like
bigger...
I think the concept of Iron Man 2 is more fun for me than Iron Man 1.
Yeah, it's got a better watchability factor.
So I will give it a 7.5.
Fair enough. I don't get me wrong, I do really enjoy this film. It's just that end.
No, yeah, absolutely. The post credit scene in this.
Oof, that sets up a whole
world. I think that this is arguably you know, that first mic drop from Nick Fury of...
It's pretty big. It's big in terms of characters.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is in terms of world.
Yeah. It goes right now. Here's your next character.
It's Thor.
Absolutely. It's Coulson, and he's talking about they found an hammer in a crater in New Mexico. And it literally, the next show that we're talking about is Thor.
Yeah.
And so they weren't pulling any punches. They were like, this is what's coming next.
This
and I loved it.
Yeah, I thought that was a great way of jumping off into the cosmic side of the MCU. And I can't wait to talk about it, David.
We will talk about that next week. If you want to get hold of us, you can tweet me at SwearboxDJ.
You can tweet me at Eamon Jacobs. That's with two M's.
And you can also get us on at Heroes Direct. Send us your questions. Send us your thoughts. What you're liking. What do you want us to shut up about? Just tweet us and hashtag Countdown to Infinity. We'll be back next week where we will talk about the first Thor movie.
Fantastic. Thank you for listening.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.